The Trust for Sustainable Living presents Speaking of Sustainability, a podcast about the environment and the issues our planet faces. Today we will be talking to speakers from the TSL Partner Power Summit as part of our mini-series on biodiversity. Today's guest will be Dr. Poya Sanami. Today's episode is hosted by James Myers.
Well, good morning. I'm here on Saturday morning with the final day of the Trust for Sustainable Living 2021 Partner Power Summit, and am joined by Dr. Poya Sanami with Maastricht University, who just delivered a thought-provoking presentation on bio-based and biodegradable materials. Dr. Sanami, it was a real call to action, I think, listening to you talk about the fact that only 9% of plastic is recycled. I think you mentioned that there was 1 billion plastic toothbrushes that are disposed, not recycled in the United States every year, and that it takes a shocking 450 years for plastic to degrade when it's not recycled. So it's a real call to action. And I was just wondering, what is a main driver or the main cause in the movement to develop bio-based and biodegradable materials? Is it the public? Is it governments demanding action, or is it industry, or is there some other driver in this movement?
Well, first of all, thanks a lot for having me. It was a pleasure for me to contribute to such a great initiative. And indeed, the numbers are shocking when we think of these numbers. For I myself, I couldn't believe some of them when I read about them, especially when it comes to the use, to the numbers of products that we throw away every day in different parts of the world, and the products that we really don't need to have a new pair of them. In terms of bio-based economy, so let's say the movement toward using more bio-based and biodegradable materials, I think the motivation, the ultimate goal is sustainability and sustainable development. So it, of course, it has government initiatives, it also has people. People are always the main, they play the main role in this, in such initiatives. And yeah, I think there is a demand by industry, probably driven by government, and also the science. So the scientists also, they try to find opportunities to improve the current situation, looking, let's say, getting inspired by the nature and finding solutions by just observing how the nature works. So the nature itself, how we have disturbed the nature by the current system that we have, and then bioeconomy and by using bio-based biodegradable materials is principally getting inspired by nature and trying to reap it.
So you mentioned the science. Is there been any significant or major advance in the science of biodegradability and biodegradable materials in the last few years?
Yeah, the field is quite young, but still there has been lots of recent developments. So in all fronts, also using different bio-based resources, there are different generations. So for instance, when it comes to biofuels, we started with food crops, and then we think of more, let's say, the residues. I think one of the biggest movements is about waste, what we call it waste valorization. So using the waste, using the byproducts. I think this is one of the best examples of how the bioeconomy and bio-based industry is moving toward. So looking at all the waste that we have and trying to find the possibilities for them, rather than looking at the product that we have and finding a source for it. It's more about finding possibilities and also the dynamics between different sources we have with a focus on waste, and then finding applications for that and the need. In the European Union, particularly, I can say that there is an initiative also supported by governments. So we'll have definitely much more bio-based products in the next 10 years, which is promising. But still, the field is young. We need more developments and also more involvement by both local and also national policymakers.
What would be the main barrier or challenge in the science of these materials and in the science of biodegradability? Is there any particular part of the science that is, say, either too expensive or just the science isn't advanced enough? Where would you focus most of the scientific effort in developing this movement?
Yeah, that is a very good question. I personally think the main barrier is that we are looking for one solution that solves everything. And definitely the bio-based industry, bio-based materials, biodegradable materials, they are not the answer, the only answer for all the environmental problems we have. But they definitely can contribute a lot to our sustainability. And in this story, the main barrier is also the alternative. The alternatives that we have for bio-based materials, they are easily accessible, they are well implemented, they are well supported, they are much, much more cheaper with current scenarios. And yeah, there is also an involvement of big companies, also governments. So the main challenge is to find, let's say, resources, I would say, for bio-based materials and biodegradable materials. The resources are still limited. So they can contribute, but we have to make decisions also, because there are already many applications. So it can be for fuel, but at the same time we have the food versus fuel dilemma, or it can be applications that they are much easier, let's say from a technological point of view, to implement, like using fuel or using bio-based resources for providing energy or heat. But on the other hand, there are also more applications that they have higher value, like the pharmaceutical or the medical applications. So it's to find the trade-off also dealing with all these challenges and finding the best, let's say, decision on what material should be used for what particular applications.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, is there a main type of material that's used now as an input for biodegradable products? From my own knowledge, I don't know. Like, is there one particular material that forms the majority of these products, or is the mainstay of these products currently?
Not really. There are a variety of products. So basically, let's say the plants, I would say generally, so different plants with different, they can provide us different applications. So there is no one certain, let's say, if I say sugar cane or if I say corn, or there is no one certain biomass resources. There are different ones we can get also. We have biomass resources like from residues. It can be municipal solid waste. It can be different forestry, agricultural residues. So there is not one certain source for biobased products.
Interesting. And I guess with all of these different sources, there's the cost of developing products, you know, and developing the science around the particular source. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, before, one of the challenges is just how easy it is to dispose of things currently. Like, when I dispose of a plastic toothbrush, it doesn't cost me anything to dispose of it. Whereas if you develop a new material, it costs money to develop the new material. So there's that kind of economic imbalance, you know, this cost-free disposal of our waste.
Yeah, definitely. This is a very good point. But I would say, I think my point of probably this talk, also what we discussed earlier, is that we really don't need to find one product that is very sustainable that we can dispose anytime we want, a toothbrush or any other product. I think the first approach in my perspective is questioning the need. So do I really need 10 toothbrush in a year that then I can throw away as much as I want? Or do I really need to buy a plastic bag every time? That then I have to think of a very sustainable solution for that. I think if we think of finding sustainable solutions for limitless usage, that never works. So we need to question the need and we need to question the function. And after that, when we are certain about that, thinking of how to provide that need.
Well, that's an interesting, you know, perspective, and it ties to the last question that I had, you know, to ask you, is there one single thing, like one single most important thing that we could do to change the mindsets of people about the materials that we use and encourage investment in bio-based and biodegradable materials? And, you know, I'm just thinking about one suggestion from the audience during this morning's presentation that you gave, you know, that one of the youth present suggested, you know, printing the number of years it would take for a plastic bottle, for example, to biodegrade on the bottle, so that as a consumer, when I buy that bottle, I would know that I'm buying something that that takes 450 years to degrade. You know, that's just an example, but is there one single thing, if you could change the mindsets of people about this, is what would be the one thing that you would do to change the mindsets?
Well, I think indeed it's all about the awareness. I think we need to get informed first, that then we start to think about. So for me, the first step is observation, is getting informed, seeing what we are using, what we are doing, because many times we don't see. Imagine if we could see the story that the plastic bottle we throw away, the story that happens to the plastic bottle after that. Or if we could see our other actions in daily life, the consequences of our actions, how it can affect other people, how it can affect the environment, or etc. So for me, the best approach it would be to see, to observe, and not just thinking about the moment, seeing what's the story behind the product we are using, what's the story after, having a bit, it's like, you know, zooming out. When you zoom out, when you see a bigger picture, I think the big picture helps us to observe things better. And then when we see the things we think differently.
Well, thank you. And certainly that's inspiring, given the story that you presented this morning of the life cycle of a plastic bottle, for example. And you know, certainly the work that you do is very important. And, you know, being here with us this morning at the TSL 2021 Partner Power Summit is certainly helping to raise awareness, and raise awareness among the youth, I think, can have a very important voice in this. So I wanted to thank you very much for your time and presentation. And, you know, let's hope that we can, what you've said will help to provoke some awareness and some real thinking about this very important issue. So I wanted to thank you very much, Dr. Purisamani, for taking the time to speak to me, and for the inspiration that you gave with your presentation this morning. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, James. It was an honor and pleasure for me.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much.
This has been Speaking of Sustainability, a podcast by the Trust for Sustainable Living. Thank you to today's guest, Dr. Purisamani. Hosted by James Myers. Organized by Jasmine Barrett and Zeke Tierney. Music by Billy Painter. Find us online by going to trustforsustainableliving.org.